entered the building.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTB NXT. And we might actually watch some wrestling this time and not a Jason Momoa film. I guess you'll find out soon. Let me bring in my co-host on here, Jennifer Smith. What's up, Jenny?
Well, I'm out. I thought we were here watching movies again. So I was here for Jacob Goodnight.
Oh, you know, it's funny because we were talking about a very Jacob Goodnight topic before we actually started recording. About someone with a giant penis, just like Jacob Goodnight.
A 3-foot dick?
And right on cue, Tim, what's going on?
Yeah, well, all I'll say is, spoiler alert, we might have seen more wrestling in Road to Bulova than we are going to see in these three episodes of NXT.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you do like the, you know, people will like these, you know, quote unquote wrestling journalists will do those things where they like count how many minutes like of wrestling there was on Raw. Like Raw is 3 hours long. There was 35 minutes of actual wrestling.
More like Raw is bore.
Whoa.
Sir.
Goodness. Anyway, so before we get into the name generator, we discussed this. I figure it's a new year. We're you know, we're kind of off to a pseudo fresh start here. We discussed doing this before. It is 100% cop from another podcast, but I figured we should do the we will start to do the Cajun word of the month because we do this once a month. So
yeah.
I've just sprung this on you guys suddenly, but I do think I feel like we've talked about it before, so. I have a word for you guys, and so I think it's we'll be able to use it throughout the show too, which will be fun. So your Cajun word is going to be couillon. Couillon. Depending on couillon. So if you spell it formally, it would be like couillion, but okay. Colloquially it is often spelled like conyon.
Okay.
It's like couillon, but a couillon is a fool, essentially, like an idiot, a fool, a goober, some would say.
Mm-hmm.
So a couillon. So for example, one might say, Enzo and Cass are a couple of couillons. So, would you guys like to give it a whirl? And I know you guys you've been saying it, but make sure we got this down.
Tim? No, I have a question. So,
sure.
Formally, the spelling you said C-O-U. Is there an X after the U, perhaps? Because I would like there to be an X in the middle of the word for no reason. Because
right, yeah, that's kind French of what we do here.
Yeah,
right. So I actually believe that you know the true French, like a Marcus Louis, would frown upon the unnecessary X. But yeah, here in the humble Cajun land. People love to throw the X in. It's real fun. But yeah, we can throw an X in there. C-O-U-X Y-O-N.
Wow.
Couillon. You got to put a little in it.
You got to put some throat behind it.
Couillon. Like always. But I just don't know how I feel about being taught French words.
Yeah, I'm very for it.
I know you are. I don't know.
You feel unpatriotic? Like you don't want
to. I don't trust French words.
You don't trust.
Well, it's not real. It's like not real French words.
Trust
it's
like,
words.
Like a version, like a
right.
The dirty whore cousin of French.
Yeah, pretty much the
All right.
Couillon, so.
I'm good with that then.
And I will say to add a little bit of context, it is usually not always said in the most vicious way. It is somewhat. I feel like. The connotation is sort of like loving, like not loving, but you know, like, you crazy fool, like kind of like somebody you think is a fool, but they're kind of like your buddy, kind of.
Like Grooney.
Yes. Oh, 100%. Grooney would be the picture in the Cajun dictionary next to Couillon.
Couillon.
There you go. Grooney. Couillon Grooney.
Okay. So I am adding now, to my list, the Cajun word of the day, and I will track these as I track everything we do on this podcast.
It's a very original idea I had.
Sure is.
Yep, 100%. All right, speaking of gimmicks we have every episode, Tim, it's been a while, but do you have our previous gimmick names?
Yeah, I mean, We've been hanging in there. We got punished last time for not cooperating with the creative direction for our characters, hence having to watch Road to Paloma in the Performance Center, which honestly, I wish they had just released us. That was so torturous. But here's how it stands right now. We are currently, and for the past, gosh, few months now, I feel like we've been known as Jake, your buff needler. Mm-hmm. I am, of course, Lucky Benning, and mm-hmm. Jenny, the lovely Malikwa Chowda.
Right.
You have to say Chowda like Taz.
Chowda.
Chowda. Malikwa Chowda, cool.
We have to just pretend now that every day we have.
Look at Al Wilson like eating up that chowder.
Like it's Hook.
Like how people. Oh, man.
Send chowder.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. So after our punishment of being tortured by watching Road to Paloma in the Performance Center, barricaded in a room by Triple H, we are going to get our new name. So I will now be known as Chase Hooch.
So. See, that works. I mean, you drink a lot, and
right. Yeah.
Okay. I like it.
Chase is the name.
H-O-O-C-H, or is there a T in there or something?
Yes, Hooch, as in the film Turner and Hooch. starring Tom Hanks and a dog. Turner Hooch, and that weird period between the 80s and 90s, that is just like the strangest time period to me. Like fashion wise, everything's just, it's real weird. Mm-hmm. Sorry, sidebar.
All
right. Right. So, yeah, I imagine, look, I could be just like Hangman Page, the Hooch. I just drink a lot.
And, all right. Mm-hmm.
Drunk gimmick. Yeah. I like it.
Anxious millennial who drinks to cope with his problems. Very good.
They do say you should be yourself turned up to 11. So, all right, Tim, you are going to be Kyle Polbag. Some real Polbag? Basic first. Polbag. Polbag. Some real basic first names, followed by some humdingers as last names.
Okay. Polbag on a pole match.
Jesus.
I don't know. What kind of?
I feel like that's almost a personal trainer who becomes a wrestler type gimmick,
like a modern Body Donis kind of thing.
Yeah, like this is a guy all the Performance Center gym bunnies go to, and he got sick of training other people and having all these young meatheads not listening to him, and went into business for himself. Mm. That's my backstory.
Do you think he carries poles like in a bag to beat people up with? Like,
yes, absolutely.
Like coming with the grocery cart full of shit. Like you just have a bag of poles.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right, Jenny, you are going to be Hans Covington.
That's
a villain from Die Hard.
I'm not just a wrestler. I'm an exceptional wrestler.
Hans Covington.
Covington. It's got to be like a...
Hans.
I don't know. It sounds royal. It sounds fancy. It sounds...
masculine?
All rise for Hans Covington.
Or maybe like a valet for Tyler Breeze.
Manservant type of deal.
Right?
Jenny is Tyler Breeze's manservant.
Right?
Right.
Little tuxedo.
Yeah. Well, the tuxedo with the little flap on the back.
Coattail.
Yeah. Oh, I like it.
You're like his China, but you dress like Hunter Hearst Helmsley. The little tails and the.
And you're German.
Exactly. Exactly.
You're like a German aristocrat.
Yeah, I mean, that's it.
German aristocrat.
I think this is it. This might be the one for me, y'all.
Yeah, it sounds promising.
This gimmick.
You you're German, you speak German, but talk in like a hoity-toity French accent.
Mm-hmm. Right.
These are all couillons. All right. All right, well, as I think we're destined for success, just like the other one. Yeah, I cannot see how these are going to fail. Mm-hmm. Right. But we do have some NXT to talk here, now that we've bullshit around for a good few minutes. Mm-hmm. We are fresh off of TakeOver, and we are going to get back into NXT TV. We are near the end of the year 2014. We're going to be in December 18th, 2014. We get a lengthy recap of the events of TakeOver that we covered a few months ago. And we are back at Full Sail, and we start with Neville in the ring, our former champion who has the mic. And he says that Sammy should be out here. He gives Sammy some props for winning the match, but announces that Sammy will not be here due to the beating he took from Kevin Owens at the end of that show, where Kevin Owens hit him on the hardest part of the ring on the apron and presumably injured him. Owens comes out and Neville tells him, kind of gives him a scolding. Shame on you, man. Shame on you for what he did to Sammy. Owens doesn't care. He just wants to fight and says that they can fight. And then he ends up dropping the mic. So quickly elevating Kevin Owens kind of into this, I guess, the main event picture as he beat up Sammy. And now he's kind of feuding with Neville. But Tim, what did you think of this this opening little segment here where we had Kevin Owens come out and have a little back and forth with Neville?
Good stuff. It really is another pretty propulsive segment for Kevin Owens, who just insinuated himself into the main event scene here of NXT with that vicious attack on Sammy, you know, cutting short his victory at TakeOver. You know what this reminded me of, actually, and this is kind of a weird analogy. So cast your gaze back to 1989, that strange period between the 80s and the 90s that we mentioned mm-hmm. earlier. Mm-hmm. Ric Flair, fresh off of feuding with Ricky Steamboat and having defeated Steamboat to win back the WCW or NWA heavyweight championship in their rubber match, and didn't have long to savor that victory before old Terry Funk comes out and pile drives Ric Flair on the table. And so that puts Flair out for a little while. And we get this little, I don't know, placeholder feud between Flair and, I mean, Funk and Steamboat. And they like have that pretty good match at the one clash, you know, sort of between pay-per-views before Flair comes in. So we've got really Neville as the former champion playing that Ricky Steamboat role here, taking care of some of Sammy's business, you can call it, keeping this feud hot, giving us something interesting to watch while Sammy is out, you know, selling the angle. So, and I've always enjoyed that approach just because it gives you some variety to your matches. And it's good just to see different guys mixing it up, even if they're not like directly feuding. So this is, I'm not saying that's a deliberate callback or anything. It's just what I thought of.
Yeah, I automatically thought of that as well, Tim. So I'm glad that we're on the same page.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. No, but like, you know, it's good. It's good to have somebody else, I think, in the mix here for a minute, just because we've been on Neville and Sammy for a bit. And KO is just very hateable at this point. And shame on him. I agree with Neville. And the crowd loves Neville as much as we do, y'all. And it's going to be tough not having him be our champ.
Right. Yeah, I dug this too. I actually didn't think of that comparison that both of you guys did, but it's an excellent one. It fits perfectly. I like him being through as we get further in these episodes, as he's kind of establishing himself. I'm interested to see, or it was interesting to see, how he kind of approaches it, because you would think that the crowd is going to want to cheer him just like on the surface because he's a big name coming in at this point and stuff. Mm-hmm. So like all the moves he does to try and make sure that that doesn't happen. And I think he ends up doing a pretty good job of it. Like, of course, the Sammy attack right here. I love that he doesn't really talk much. He just like doesn't want to give anybody attention. So he's like, whatever, fuck it, I don't care. Drops the mic and leaves. Like
and he's such an asshole. He just feels like
no selling Neville's passion. Like Neville's like mm-hmm. crying out to shame on you, man. And he's just like, whatever. Don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I dig it so hard. He just feels like a big deal in NXT, and I think we need more guys who seem like a big deal because, I mean, I feel like even guy people in here that we like a decent bit, they're still kind of, they feel very developmental at times, and like I feel like we need more like, yeah, like guys who feel big and like feel like main event stars.
Like senior leadership, sort of.
Right, mm-hmm. Exactly, which I guess we've started to see with him and Finn and stuff. So, yeah, I enjoyed this whole segment quite a bit. And we'll see how it plays out. But we will head now to Becky, who's speaking with Devin backstage. She says that Sasha has opened her eyes to what it takes to reach the next level. Fans smiling doesn't matter when you're losing. And she says that Bayley's eyes better be open to see who's going to end her career. So, very unique stuff here as a heel is saying that they do not care about what the fans think, here with, Becky Lynch, Jenny, were you feeling this Becky promo?
I was, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, you know, she will end up a very, very good promo. But yeah, I mean, it's different sort of than what we've seen, in the women's division. So, I mean, it's like, we've seen like the what they call cattiness, which I fucking hate to say, but you know, we've seen like the bickering. This is more like attitudinal, I think, like more flippant. So I don't know. I like this.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it too. It's quick but effective. And I think part of the reason I was into this so much is we do get an explanation, such as it is, for Becky's change in attitude, which we hadn't really seen before. She just kind of abruptly turned on Bayley, which, I mean, we were all pretty in favor of, but it was very out of nowhere. So this is something that at least it's better than the typical, the very cliche heel promo of, I don't owe you any explanation, Devin. You know, that's what I figured. That's what I figured we were going to see. And it really wasn't that at all. And it also makes sense because it's kind of, it's sort of echoing the Kevin Owens stuff at the top of the card. It's Becky going, well, goddamn, I must be on the right track because this guy just came in a total outsider who is playing, who's pretty much utilizing the same tricks I am. And look how well that's working for him already. So why can't it work for me? And so she's, you got to figure she's feeling justified from the top down here in NXT.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty solid too. And I kind of give them a tally mark anytime they let the women have a promo that's not acting like they're 12 years old and like Mean Girls and stuff. Yes. At this point is, you know, we've seen them kind of fall back. They've been moving away from it generally, but they kind of fall back on it sometimes. So I'm glad it wasn't this like, you know, she was acting like an adult, you know, was a good, was an improvement from what we see on here a lot. And it's, yeah, the kind of setting, I kind of like the hierarchy they're starting to build in the women's division where you kind of have the pure heels in Sasha and Becky, and then Bayley's like a pure face, and then Charlotte's kind of in this, you know, in-between role where she's not really either one. And it's working pretty well for them, I feel. So, all right. Unfortunately, someone else is working, and that's Tyler Breeze, because he is taking some time away to model in Europe, much to our chagrin. Very sad. I'm glad he's finding work in his, I guess, would modeling be his, like, primary career? Wrestling? I'm not sure.
It's questionable. He's, right. I feel like he's sort of gone back and forth on this. At first, he was using the wrestling to enhance his modeling career, seemed a dubious approach. And then he seemed like he was more committed to his wrestling than his modeling, because he must have just been getting so many hits, you know, as an influencer on the gram, you know, all those selfies and whatnot. He doesn't need to do conventional model work anymore.
And he had that hit music video.
The hit music video too. Thank you, Jenny. So who needs the runway? Fuck that life, right? Well,
so he's in Europe, I guess, and you know, he might need to pick up a German valet, you know, while he's over there.
Whoa.
Just saying, just tying in.
Right.
My servant is by happenstance. Mr. Covington. They start building it for like multiple months.
Yeah.
Debut of Hans Covington.
Yeah.
Does he fall on stage and you rush up there to help him back to his feet, and that's your little meet cute?
That's not bad.
You go up and give him his amphetamines. keep up with his busy schedule.
Like, you have to organize all his clothes, like all his boots and fur and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I like that modeling is so time intense. Like, you'd think, like, modeling gigs, he could probably, like, fly out there, go shoot whatever for a few days, and then kind of come back and wrestle. Uh-huh. But apparently he's got to be, like, he's got to be permanently there for a while. He must be doing a lot of modeling.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a lot of work to look that gorgeous all the time. So, you know, it's a lot of beauty routines. You can't just show up at a photo shoot.
Right. He wants to get some time. You can't just do that on your own. You need an assistant, right?
Right, exactly.
He also wants to get some time in his winter home in the Alps, no doubt, while he's over there.
Of course. Well, we'll miss you, Tyler. Can't wait for his return.
Yeah.
All right. It is announced that we're going to see Owens versus Neville tonight. So, huge match. Shit. And I haven't mentioned it yet, but we have Corey Graves on commentary. So, not a favorite of us in ring. So we'll see how well Corey fares on commentary. I know it won't be hard for him to be an improvement, because we've been pretty adamant in our hatred of most of the commentary on NXT, especially now that Mr. Regal is gone. So we'll see if Corey is an improvement.
And they sort of make clear that this is going to be more on a regular basis. He's not just like a guest commentator or anything. Like, they didn't really say why he's no longer wrestling, but he's going to be in the booth now as an addition to this team of Rich Brennan and Jason Albert on the show, I believe.
Albert and Renee and Alex Riley.
Yeah, all these clowns out there. So see if he can.
Oh, come on, Tim, get the perfect opportunity. Couillons.
You said it's used too affectionately. I can't talk about them with any degree of affection.
Okay.
They're clowns.
I hate these idiots. No, you're right. That's true.
That'll be our next mean word.
I have to think of a meaner word for an idiot.
Context matters. Yeah.
All right, so we'll get our first match here. It's going to be Bayley versus Becky. Albert, that we just mentioned, he is disgusted by Becky's recent behavior. He also says, this is a weird strategy, he says here, that that Bayley should not wear, like, that she should wear the brace on the uninjured knee.
Yeah. Which is,
in that case, just don't wear it at all, because if you're not going to wear the injured knee, it's not going to help.
Sounds like a great strategy to end up with two injured knees, does it not?
Like, you wear it on the one that's not injured, so they don't know which one to pinpoint. Like, okay, couldn't they just, like, go back to when you heard it and, like, remember, all right, it was the left one. Like,
or, like, hey, she's got a brace on her right knee. I'm going to go after that. It's like, well, this knee was healthy, but
now it needs the, like, brace.
He's, like, so desperate to try and give some, like, psychology to it that he ends up saying something just completely idiotic.
Stupid.
Oh, wow.
All right. So you get lots of slugging with forearms. There was a cool sequence into they call it the four-leg clover, which is Becky's finishing maneuver. And it's not a very long match. It's very short. Bayley ends up tapping to the four-leg clover after they kind of slug away at each other for a while. But I thought it was short, but fine for what it was, but just not really a whole lot of time to build to much of anything. I ended up going a star and a half on it. Jenny, were you surprised? I'll let you speak. Tell me, did you find it surprising that Bayley would lose? I was a little shocked that she would just lose so handily here.
Yeah, that was one of my notes. Like, this is a pretty good match, but I kind of wanted to see Bayley win this. And that's weird for me in general. But to me, I don't know. I feel like it makes more sense to have her win. But yeah, I mean, like, two stars, I think. Becky does look good, and you know, they had some good sequences there before she finally tapped. That I don't know how I feel about her tapping either, but I think I like it better than a pin, so I'll take it. fine. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, pretty fine TV match for these ladies, Tim.
Right.
Yeah, I'm right in there with Jenny. I also gave it sort of a gentleman's two stars. While it is very short, I think that works and it makes sense because the knee does factor into the finish. Mm. And plus, that is a sick submission, that kind of inverted figure four. I don't know what. I wish she still did that because it looks so cool. And she,
maybe she'll bring it back.
You know, to move like that, it looks like, you know, it's kind of, it's similar to one of those, like, Triple H mutant leg locks where it just looks so awkward trying to even apply it. And she just whips it right out like it's nothing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just, I love like when LBJ. Somebody just has, yeah, has that.
Kind of, oh, I was waiting for it.
Sorry.
Ma'am. I love when somebody has just that kind of ring IQ that they, you just get the sense they know what they're doing and can, mm-hmm. can pop off a finisher like from any position sort of thing. And that's the sense I got here in this finish. And, you know, keeps Becky looking really strong here against Bayley. I almost wonder, like, I think Bayley does have a legit knee issue, and I can't remember if she misses any significant time or anything, but it seems like maybe that's an angle they're going to work or something here. So mm-hmm. I was okay with it. I'm liking heel Becky here, getting some clean wins.
Yeah, not egregious or anything. That Jenny's such a cool, huh, Tim?
All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We get a WWE.com exclusive interview here as Renee speaks with Charlotte, who reveals that she just debuted on Raw. So Charlotte already making some appearances on Raw here. She actually gives Sasha a little bit of cred, saying that, you know, saying that she's a tough competitor, et cetera, et cetera. But this is her throne and she is genetically superior. So they're really pushing that as like her line. And I just wish they would kind of scrap that because it's just a weird line. Like a weird thing. Gross, right? I think she says she's the most genetically superior. So she's it's real strange. But I did like her like kind of cocky,
genetically
cocky
superior gene pool. Yeah, this it's like there's a pool of talent that's all genetically superior. She's the most genetically superior to even them. I guess I don't know. Yeah, I've always been bothered by that line just because. I think it does her a disservice. Like, I mean, we get it. They're trying to put over the fact that she's Ric Flair's daughter, but she's also like, you know, a fucking beast, right? She's incredibly talented, and right. It's not just, you know.
Also, she's blonde and tall, looks vaguely, you know.
Yeah.
You know, she probably don't need to be saying that.
Yeah, right. It just sounds so much like one of those just weird WWE phrases that they come up sometimes and they try and hammer in. It just sounds unnatural and weird. Yeah.
Like DMD.
But I did like her kind of cocky face energy aside from the genetically superior thing. I kind of like this whole, like I said, or like kind of tweenerish sort of thing. Didn't mind it. All right. We get I only mention this because this is this Total Diva segment. We would end up seeing this about seven times throughout this set of episodes, but it's I am sensitive, devilish, playful, beautiful. I am a total diva. It reminded me of a commercial, honestly. Like a Pantene ad.
Oh God.
I am sensitive, devilish, playful, beautiful.
I thought they were violent. Trying to sell me tampons. Like,
right.
Like, right. Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
I just want you to watch Total Divas.
No, thank you.
It does. Yeah, it does feel like one of those very mid-90s concept-heavy cosmetics or toiletries marketed towards women kind of things. Yeah. Maybe for our next project, our side project, we'll have to do Total Divas or something.
Yeah, Total Divas Revisited.
No.
Jenny says no to that on the face of
it. Vetoed quickly on that. Come on. Aren't you sensitive? Devilish. Playful. Beautiful. Sultry.
Total diva.
Right.
Total divas vetoing total divas.
See, I went meta.
Strong-willed.
How
Cleon.
Honestly, though, how do you feel about that whole
Kuya? devilish Kuya.
Like, so that was a thing they did for a good while, right? With the whole, okay, our women are taken seriously now, but we have a title called the Divas Championship, mm-hmm. so we have to, like, it's like, I don't know, we could rebrand it, or we, being who we are in our infinite wisdom of WWE Universe, we can reclaim the term diva, right? Mm-hmm. We can make this, you know, like a good thing. And it, because it means this, that, and this, and the that, and the other, as this promo illustrates. How do you feel about that whole reclaiming the word?
It's not a bad idea. I mean, I feel like that's a fairly decent attempt, maybe. I don't know.
It's an attempt.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably not the worst thing that they've tried to do when it comes to women in wrestling, but yeah, it's just super dated, I think. And
right. I mean, they quietly gave up on it, I guess. Yeah,
which is good, you know.
It feels like an admission of defeat, but they tried.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because, you know, all the girls are hot. I mean, what do you want? Like, they're mm-hmm. fucking hot. And, you know, this is just, you know, women in entertainment, I guess, really. You know, flashy and hot and, I don't know. It works. It fucking works. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays they pretty much have, like, spinoff of Total Divas, like, all these reality shows.
Yeah, and you know, like, I'm sorry, kind of on a tangent, but I guess maybe related, but I feel like all the wrestlers now, the women wrestlers now, are also Instagram models, and right. It's like, I can't tell if it's like a empowerment thing or like mm-hmm. I know a lot of thirsty dudes is gonna buy this money type thing, you know what I mean, like, this is the content that is required. This is what I am. So I'm going to do that, you know, like a work basically.
Yeah. It's a hard thing to say because wrestling in itself is so like based on like your physical image.
Right.
It's like, you know, it's like, I guess they feel it's like a natural sort of companion, but you are right in saying that. I mean, it's becoming sort of a common thing that whenever someone who like became popular wrestling and they kind of leave the company or something, one of the first things they push is like some sort of social media platform, like you know, like they have a Twitch channel or some shit like that, and that Only sort of fans. Becomes the
yeah.
yes like that becomes like their main deal after that.
I mean, it's to me it's fascinating because it looks like business, you know what I mean, like it looks like
right.
a branding situation and stuff, but then it's like, how far do you go with that? I don't know. I got
it's,
weird
it's also like, well yeah I get what you're saying, because it's also like right on the line of what the company will tolerate as far as like self-promotion mm-hmm. of their, you know, contracted superstars. We saw the whole that blow up when I can't remember who it was who did the Twitch channel. Was it Lana?
I think it was Selena Vega, maybe.
Yeah.
Was it her?
Yeah, that sounds right. And it was like, nope, you can't do that. You're WWE talent. You can't be representing yourself and our brand that way outside of WWE programming. And it's like, mm-hmm. okay. And they'll even get on people's, you know, Twitter presences, for lack of a better word, but an Instagram picture. I mean, a selfie is just a selfie, right? It's like they'll allow that because it's like we can't stop you from just having an Instagram. I mean, I guess they could, but they don't. So far, anyway. It's like, okay, you can have an Instagram, you can have a Twitter, but it's like this is about as far as you can push it under our watch.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm thinking of like a Mandy Rose, right? So like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Her stuff on there is quite, I feel like it's quite different than what they're trying to do right now. I can't really tell what she doesn't feel like a champion to me. I don't know. She just feels like I don't know. I don't even know what I'm trying to say.
Instagram model, like.
Yeah, and I don't mean it like that. I just. It's just hard for me to tell. Like, is she using? What is she using? Which one is she using, and what for? Like Tyler Breeze. Like, which one are you?
Yana? Right. Are you a wrestler or a model?
To bring it back to NXT.
Which lane are you in?
Right. Yeah. And I'm just, it's like, it's fine. Like, it's awesome. Like, if I look like that, fuck yeah, I would probably do whatever I wanted to. But, you know, it's like, I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Anyway. We went some places on off of that goofy. No, I mean, this is a deep. The deep analysis you get on PTB NXT. We took a goofy ass Total Divas ad and went into a deep dive into, you know, the relationship between female wrestlers and, you know, their presence on social media and perception.
Yeah. Welcome to media studies on PTB NXT.
So on a similar intellectual note, I have a note here because we got this Lucha Dragons promo. Do you think the Luchasaurus is a descendant of the Lucha Dragon? Is the Lucha Dragon like a mythical beast, and the Luchasaurus is, you know, they found the fossils? Is it that really? I don't know. I feel like it's got to be
the Lucha fossils.
Like, you know, like a dragon is like a mythical beast that's, you know, not really real. Found reality, but a dinosaur would be real. So I don't know. I was just pondering the relate. There's got to be some. You know, I don't think this is a coincidence of a Luchasaurus and Lucha Dragon. You know,
I like continuing
the intellectual conversations we're having. I just thought I'd extend it in a different manner.
But. Yeah, well, I think the Luchasaurus and the Lucha Dragons were natural enemies during the Saurian period, and you know, perhaps they died in battle. And their bones, their remains were uncovered at the same time, sort of together, right? It was a bit of a jigsaw puzzle that had to be sorted out. Mm. But they actually managed to assemble the Lucha Dragons faster than they could the Luchasaurus on account of his size. As the larger of the two creatures, it took much longer to get the bones reassembled for the Luchasaurus in order to reanimate. This is what we're saying, right? They found the fossils, right. And they, once you got them back together, they were reanimated mythically.
I'm literally stroking my chin as you're explaining this to me.
Right. I mean, I believe that's how that works.
I mean, the Luchasaurus is for sure bigger than a dragon though. I don't know. Mm. I don't know about size difference.
I think, you know what, it's one of those things where, the scientists got it wrong. They got it backwards. They thought, here's what happened. This is exactly what happened. After they separated the bones of the Lucha dragons from the Luchasaurus, they thought that the Lucha dragons were going to be one creature because of the vast assortment of bones. And it turns out, there's two of them. They're actually twins. They were pack predators,
right,
during the Saurian period. But they had already, they had already submitted the name to to the prehistoric naming academy, and it had already been accepted. So right. Just a little bit of trivia for you guys. It's funny, they got it backwards. They should be known, the Lucha Dragons should be known as the Luchasauruses. And the Luchasaurus should be, the Luchasaurus should be known as the Lucha Dragon.
All right, I'm going to reach out to him on Twitter and let him know.
Mm-hmm. Bones.
Mr. Bones. Feel to my bones. My home.
All right. Continuing with this very intellectual and bookish episode of PG Maxi, we have William Regal reading a large volume of literature back at his office when he's accosted by the vaudevillains. They show him some footage of them being pinned at TakeOver by the illegal Lucha Dragon. I love that throughout this, they use their phones to show, they're like iPhone to show them the footage. They're supposed to be like these guys who are stuck in 1912 or something, and they pull out their phone to show them. That kind of popped me. But anyway, he kind of, in his normal Regal sort of reluctant way, kind of gives them their requests, even though he kind of like begrudgingly gives them their requests for a rematch. So it looks like we will get that. And hopefully it will be a step up, because I know we are a bit disappointed in the match at the at TakeOver. So we'll see.
Yeah. So they get a do over here, but not tonight, Sunshine. Joe's all booked up.
Right. Yeah, they had to make sure they had room for our next match, which is going to be Bull Dempsey versus an untitled jobber. Enhancement local talent. Local competitor. No one named.
I wrote this guy.
Right. They do not. I tried to find his name and could not. But, he gets thrown around for a little bit, and then Bull Dempsey squishes him with his old Bull Dempsey squish move. And it seems in my notes I left the rating blank. I'm going to rate it untitled since
it was. Untitled, okay.
The enhancement talent was not given a name. So untitled rating on this one.
I like it.
Thoughts? Yeah.
Well, a Bull Dempsey squash match gets 2 stars from me every time, so.
Whoa. 2 stars for your squash.
No,
two Susas.
No, it's a, like, it's nothing. It's not.
Dud from Jenny.
Yeah. It's not. I mean, I like Jenny.
Yeah.
Right.
This just went right in the automatic star generator and got a half star for me. Made my life easy. Didn't have to think about it. I do like that it's of a piece with our next match.
Yeah, right.
Right. So, it's really, we should probably just kind of talk about this all as one. So Corbin comes in right after they get kind of a stare down. Corbin comes to the ring. I love the idea that, like, where did this other guy come from? Because it is a different enhancement talent.
Baron Corbin versus local teleporter.
Where did he come from? He snuck out from under the ring.
There was no break.
Right. No break, no entrance. He was just, like, waiting to get his ass handed to him. But this guy also didn't have a name. I called him the man. What do I have in my notes? The man with long hair? I don't know. No, tall hair. Sorry. The man with tall hair. I think, did he have like high hair? I can't tell if I meant to put long hair, if this is an autocorrect here or what. But
he was just a tall haired teleporter.
There's a guy.
Baron Corbin, the lone wolf versus the tall haired teleporter. Rich is really pushing that Baron Corbin is imposing. But, he does the end of days. And I want to give him, since he's the lone wolf, he's going to get a lone star for this match. One single star.
Okay. Why?
I don't know. I'm not.
It is.
Why? Why does he get one star?
These are non-canon ratings, okay?
Okay.
Well,
they probably both be ones. I don't know. Who cares?
To back you up a little bit, I'll just say that there is a little bit more to it than your just conventional squash, because it's like these are two squash match specialists kind of responding to one another. So they kind of play off of one another. There's a little bit more. Look, I'm not saying it's Shakespeare, but there is a little bit where they play off of each other. And it's more intriguing than your basic bull goes out there, squashes the guy, we get a commercial and come back, you know?
Yeah.
So I, Having said that, I still, you know, went half a star on this one too, but I don't know. Maybe the whole, if you're taking it as a package deal, the entire thing that of the two matches is maybe a star.
I
guess you could look at it that way.
I think I just wanted to make my stupid joke about Lone Star, Lone Wolf, if I'm being honest. I just wanted
to make a stupid joke. Or wanted to make a stupid joke.
Yeah. But I like Tim's actual reason.
Yeah. He does have tall hair.
I was wondering, in my notes I have man with tall hair, and I was like, did I mean long hair? And
it's like
I think it had like a
mm-hmm. But it's like all of his hair, not just a strip of it, if that makes sense. Like I don't know who the fuck that guy is.
Right. We have a post-match altercation. Bull hits Baron with a shove and kind of scampers away. So I don't know. I guess they're trying to make Bull, I guess, if there's going to be a heel in this whole thing, it's him. But I don't know. How'd you feel about him scampering away? Did it seem like I guess they played off like he's playing mind games. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's it.
Yeah, it just looked like a fuck you kind of shove, not like a let's mm-hmm. fight kind of shove.
Yeah.
It looked sort of bitchy, and I sort of enjoyed that. Which plays into, hey, I'm just trying to get under your skin. And I guess you could interpret it as like, oh, he's such a pussy running off. But it seems very calculated mm-hmm. what he was doing here.
Right, but I haven't minded this. You know, I think
mm-hmm. yeah. right.
They could both be doing a lot worse.
Yeah.
Than what they're doing with this.
Certainly.
All right, we get some footage from TakeOver. They show Sammy getting stretchered out after the. I mean, it's like he's in a fucking coma after get on the apron. Like it's like they stretcher him out of the building. It's some. He is seriously hurt from that. I mean, I guess it's the hardest part of the ring after all.
Hardest part of the ring, pal. Mm-hmm.
He's roughed up. All right. And then we will go to a match that I know Jenny is really excited for. It's going to be Enzo and Cass versus Ascension. So they do this whole spiel about what was it? Like they say something about giving us 12 days and you're going to get beat by a certified G. It's just full on. They do like their normal little thing, Enzo and Cass, and then they go on this whole other thing. Corey Graves not amused though. He does not like. Mm-hmm. He's very unamused by their whole spiel here. Mm-hmm. Cass controls, but they get a blind tag to Enzo, who immediately just gets destroyed and loses to the Ascension, like completely cost them the match. And Corey has already scored some points here because he says, "Bada boom, dumbest guy in the room." great line, but. They frame the whole thing as that he's trying to get in there to impress Carmella. So that's the reason why he went in there like a couillon, if you will, and cost his team the match. But I love the bottom boom, dumbest guy in the room. But this was I ended up going zero on this.
Yes.
Dud, because correct. It really wasn't a match, really. It was just like Enzo jumps in and gets his ass beat. It was kind of more of an angle than anything else, but the bada boom dumbest guy in the room is maybe one of the best non-regal commentary lines we've seen since we started the show.
Way better than the stupid knee pad thing from earlier, but this is like zero, and which is fine. I mean, I still like them. They're fun to watch on the show. You know, the Ascension can fuck off forever. I really don't give a shit and whatever with them, but whatever, it's fine, Tim.
Okay, so this is where doing star ratings for this show, week after week, episode after episode, kind of breaks your brain.
Yep.
Because all right, so y'all both gave this a dud, fat zero. I gave it three quarters of a star, which which is a terrible, terrible rating, right? Yep. But compared to you guys, it sounds like light years better. Right. It sounds like, holy shit, I mean, you fucking massively overrated this match. You know, it's like by giving it a slightly better yet still awful rating as a wrestling match. You know, you sort this in a spreadsheet, it's certainly not making anybody's top GW anything, right? Mm-mm. And yeah, so I can't explain why I've apparently found it so much more appealing than you guys. I think I just thought it was going to be a real match, which I did not want to see between these two teams.
Yeah.
And so I rewarded it for getting out of there like immediately.
That's fair. I feel like that's
I don't know. I just thought it was funny seeing Enzo eat shit
quickly
like that.
It is an interesting dynamic for a tag team because, like, of course they've had tag teams where you have a big guy and a little guy, but not where you have a little guy who's, like, so incompetent that he's just a complete liability at all times. Like, it's actually a kind of a fun dynamic for them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And just go, all the swagger, right. too, and the confidence that fucks you up.
Like, just to go, to the nth degree with it. Like, instead of him being like, well, he's kind of the weak link, like, no, he's, like, can't wrestle at all. If he gets in the ring, they will lose.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
Or you'd see, like, the little guy get in there and you get the heat segment or he takes a big move or something. But, you know, the partner saves it. And here it's like that first big move, he's done. Like, Cass doesn't even get in there and try to save Rudy. It's just like, what the hell? That's all we get.
Why y'all letting Enzo start matches? Dumbass.
Yeah.
All right. But what I meant to say earlier is that they do the 12 days of Christmas is what I was trying to say.
Yes, I was.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't know. I told someone else about 12 days.
Christmas adjacent episode of this show. Somehow we're still in 24.
Right. So
despite starting this podcast 11 years ago, we've almost finished our first calendar. I'm sorry. Anyway.
We work on our own.
I blame no one for that, by the way. It just is what it is.
I blame Jake.
Hey, look. I feel like we've kept up pretty well.
Yeah, we're just, not bad, actually.
It's just like we've been a podcast that comes out. You know?
Yeah, 2014 is just the longest year
ever. Not saying it comes out frequently, but it comes out.
The Ascension say that they have proved themselves for 2 years and TakeOver was beginner's luck. And we will rise. So I'm sure you guys are very stirred by this Ascension promo.
It's one way to put it. Yeah.
Annoyed, stirred, whatever.
Shook.
All right.
Shaken, but not stirred.
All right, let's get to something better. Ever. It's gonna our main event, which is gonna be Neville versus Kevin Owens. Albert tells us that Neville's had trouble sleeping and eating, and then it had me you know, since we're being, you know, overanalyzing everything on this episode, it had me thinking, like, what does Neville eat? Like, what do you even eat to look like he does? Like, what does he eat? Just like
raw eggs.
Yeah, just like pure protein. Steamed chicken breast.
Yeah.
Stardust. Cosmic energy.
IcoPro.
He consumes the fabric of the universe. That's the only way that someone becomes this. Incredible checked. as a physical specimen, right. Yes.
Yeah.
And athletic specimen.
Mm. He's had trouble sleeping. And then Albert says something about Kevin Owens being uncouth. And Corey Graves says, it's not about couth, Albert. Fun line. It's not about couth, Albert.
God. What is couth? How can you be uncouth?
Like culture. It's like
But you don't say protocol, that guy's couth. Like, you know what I mean?
Is that about coop?
Yeah.
I had a friend who referred to one of my family members as I can't remember what the context of the situation was, but she goes, "You have no culture, you have no coof."
Like a William Regal line.
Right.
It did sound like a William Regal. It's actually very true and like cutting. Even though I'm not sure that person knew what couth meant either. But I was like, God, that's pretty harsh. But I was like, well, can't really defend it.
Yeah.
Not a lot of couth in my family.
No, Kevin Owens, no couth, no manners. All right. All right. So we get into the match. Owens keeps stalling to avoid Neville's kind of early barrage. I kind of didn't mind his stalling. Like I said earlier, it's like I feel like he's actively trying to make sure the crowd doesn't like him. And so rather than go in and do a bunch of cool moves, he just keeps stalling. And like it like makes sure in the early part of this match, he's not going to get cheered because the crowd is pissed off because they obviously want to see these two guys wrestle. So I didn't mind the stalling here because I thought it worked for what he was trying to get over. He finally lures Neville out of the ring and Neville pays for it with what they call a meat hook clothesline here. KO is kind of starts wearing him out at a, I called that a moderate pace, not really a slow pace, but very, a touch above methodical, I'll say. He hits a lot of his signature stuff here. So like now he uses this as a time to really get his move set over, which I thought was cool. Like now that the crowd is kind of pissed off at him for stalling, then he hits the cannonball. He's talking shit the entire time. Neville kicks him in the neck and just unleashes on him. He catches Neville again and lays in a gut buster, spikes him with the top rope with a pretty sick, like it's kind of like the Orton hanging DDT, but he did it off the top rope. But yeah, just tons of big bombs by Kevin Owens. Neville comes back and snaps off a German. Neville ends up hitting the post and they both kind of fall out of the ring and we get the dreaded double count out. But I'm not going to lie, I did not expect a clean finish. So I guess I wasn't super disappointed just because I was kind of expecting some kind of bullshit at the end, but I thought it picked up nicely after they kind of started with Owens doing the heel stalling. I thought once they really picked it up, they were both kind of throwing off bombs and a good dynamic. And I think like Tim mentioned it earlier, a good change from, you know, we had the Sammy Neville stuff where it was a lot of them just like they're both just great athletes or whatever. And now we kind of have a contrasted styles where Kevin Owens is kind of more the powerhouse sort of guy against Neville, who's the supreme athlete. But I went 3.25. I didn't think it was too bad for something that was more just to kind of open things up and to have Kevin Owens' first hashtag real match here in NXT.
You know, Kevin's got that bandage over his nose, you know, and he should really put it on his other nose so that Neville looks like, man, fuck with it too much. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I didn't expect a clean win here, but so it's like whatever with the double count out. But KO was looking dominant as shit, and it's kind of had me shook watching Neville get thrown around like that, honestly. And he seemed kind of shook too. So I don't know. He got some shit in, but this was all for KO, like you said, getting all his shit in. And I did 2.75. So I feel like that's probably pretty fair. This was pretty short and a decent enough main event. Tim?
Yep, I went 2.75 as well. I will forgive the count out finish also, just because I think on the basis of just getting this match is kind of a treat. You don't really expect it, but they do go out there and have a quote-unquote real match. But you've already sort of booked yourself into a corner, so you got to just do the screwy finish. I mean, other than that, maybe – I mean, you don't even really want to give KO or Neville a DQ win because that's still a loss on KO's record, right? So I sort of like that it's a double count out. Really doesn't count against either guys. You just it's essentially a no contest, right? It's cancels. They just cancel each other out, and that's fine. And yeah, it's very unusual to see Neville take such a shit kicking out there. Seeing him as, you know, such the dominant athletically gifted champion that he's been, and to just get pounded on for so long here, gets a couple of hope spots. But Jenny, like you said, it's really all KO with this really pretty sick moveset that, you know, that rope drape DDT and you know, the cannonball, which we'd seen before on that takeover. But just seeing more of his arsenal come out here in this match, it looks pretty impressive. We still have Owens post-match. I don't want to step on your toes, Jake, but KO is going to look like he almost in a way gets the visual win with what he does, beating Neville after the match, you know, with that, again, bringing out that ring apron power bomb, really bring it, really getting that over as like a murder death kill kind of finish. Like you see somebody do that, like it's going to be outside of the confines of a normal match. Like that's it's just got that extra degree of fuck you on it, I feel like. So I like seeing that again also. But yeah, it's just neat to it. I'm just glad this match exists in this window where, you know, we're kind of not going to see a whole lot of Neville again here at NXT, and we are going to see quite a bit more of Kevin Owens. So not just ships passing in the night.
Right. Yeah, I like the post-match too. I like that they went back to the powerbomb, gets him over as a monster, and they've done, aside from poor Tommy, they're doing a pretty good job of, I feel like, getting over these guys that are coming in between KO and Finn. They're kind of ascending pretty quickly, but it doesn't feel like overdone. It doesn't feel like forced, like the crowd's into him and stuff. But, and I did like, I have to say, I'm glad he's sort of moved away from his character when he was wrestling Corey Graves. That is, and that, like, I liked here that he's sort of been playing up the heel role, but even he doesn't like the Owen stuff, like when he powerbombs Neville on the apron. So it kind of adds another level of, like, disgust to it. But I've kind of liked Corey. I don't know. What did you guys think, since this is our first experience with Corey on commentary? I think I liked him a bit because, compared to a lot of our other commentators, he at least didn't seem like a complete goofball, like an idiot. He was at least more neutral. Like, he sounded like not a dumbass, I guess, is what I'm saying.
He picked his spots, is what, you know, like, it. Nothing he was doing was revolutionary, but it was pleasant enough, and just, like you said, a right amount of, like, sort of heel energy, but just cool overall. Like, the other two are not. So he just brings, like, a little, I mean, just depending on your definition, but a little bit of the cool factor, maybe.
Yeah, and plus he actually shows a little bit of personality, which personality in a way that's not just a stupid cartoon moron, right? We're finding new and original ways to shit on this NXT.
Yeah, this has been a fucking masterpiece.
I don't know. He's more cut from the mold of like a Jesse. Or look, he's a far cry from Jesse Ventura, but you can see, like, that's sort of who his influence is going to be versus a Jason Albert, whose influence is probably
cocaine.
The blue elephant and the Star Wars band in the canteen. Like, you know.
It's like his inspiration. You know that blue elephant. Love that fucking
Max
guy.
The Max Rebo band. There it is. Took me a while. I got there. But it's like he's a serious quote unquote heel commentator character is what he's doing. So he's sort of adrift with this, you know, confederacy of dunces surrounding him. But. At the same time, it really makes him, I don't know, in a way it probably makes him come off better than he really is. Probably. Like if he was out there with actually, you know, skilled Tony, early 90s Tony Schiavone and actual Jesse Ventura, it'd be a different story. But
true,
you know,
great on
a competent commentary team. This is not. So he really really shines a light on him. And I guess it gives him a chance to develop to the point where once you do start seeing him on like the bigger shows, it doesn't feel so out of place. Cause it's like, oh yeah, he's been doing commentary forever. And you forget about the fact that it was with mostly idiots.
All right. So that ends this episode. This is a hard one for me to grade. Cause usually if I dig the main event, if they can give me anything else underneath that, it usually makes for a pretty solid one. And I did like the the Becky Bailey match was cool. We got some development of some other things, even if it wasn't always fantastic. I'm leaning 5. It might be generous, kind of on the back of the main event and kind of the opening promo segment, and not as much stupid baby shit in the middle. So I'll give it a 5.
Yeah, it was a 5 for me too. Mixed, but these usually are. Nothing that made me want to puke, though. So it's fine.
Yeah, 5 sounds about right. Just right on down the middle. It is a tough one to grade, but it's an easy watch, strong TV main event, and like you said, nothing that makes you want to kill yourself in between all of that.
All right. Okay, so our next one is a special edition of NXT, and that it aired on Christmas Day 2014. So we're almost there, Tim. We're almost in the new year. So they kind of do just like a Christmas best of show. So a lot of it was just, you know, clips of shit we've already talked about. But there were a few that I thought were worthy of it. If you guys had anything that besides what I start getting into that you want to talk about, go ahead. But the first thing that stuck out to me is they do this entire segment where it's like Neville going back to his hometown and, you know, England. I'm trying to remember the exact place. What was it?
Kingston, I believe.
Kingston.
No.
I don't know. I didn't know what it was. Somewhere in England. But
visit me, mom.
Yeah, to visit his mom. So good to see you.
You're going to be coming up here. I've got it playing now, so I'll tell you.
Right. So he's there visiting his mom, and they kind of go over his, you know, his youth and growing up and stuff. And one line that popped me is, that, of course, they talk about that he wanted to be a soccer player or a footballer. But the mom says, most Geordie lads want to be a footballer. which got me. He talks about how he loved WrestleMania 10 was his favorite growing up. They kind of show where he started training at. And I dug the mom, too, being completely honest whenever she says
Newcastle.
They're like, ah, Newcastle. There we go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Extremely British name.
Uh-huh.
But oh, yeah, because he talks about the beer. That's true. I remember he says, like, we're famous for football and beer. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just made him British Bulldog. All British British Bulldog to me. But I like the mom straight up saying that she didn't support him at first.
Yeah.
She was like, no, I didn't want him to do it. It seemed like a stupid
surprise
idea.
Surprise me, like, mom, because I'm bizarre. Yeah.
But I don't know. I didn't mind this. It was interesting. I didn't mind seeing where Neville comes from. And we love Neville here. I don't know. Any thoughts on this? Neville goes home to see his mom.
I kind of loved it, too. I thought it was really charming. A little oddly placed, though. Well, maybe not, because does it feel like a farewell? I don't know. But he looks so adorable. Like, he's wearing his little glasses, and he has his little ponytail. And I don't know. He just seems like a really nice guy. I don't know a better way to say it. Like, he just seems, like, sweet and humble. And, you know, like, he loves this place and his mom, you know? It was cute. Well,
it's a good example of a thing that this company is not very good at, which is making one of their stars look like an actual human being. So that always gets points from me. My other single note that I took away from this segment is Neville posing ominously in front of the giant Wicker Man totem. That was pretty cool, I thought. Just no explanation. It's just a neat backdrop for a photo op.
It's funny, too, to look back on this, considering that, you know, for a good portion of the rest of his career, his whole character is going to end up being like a bastard and all this. And he's in this wholesome like thing. Was, I thought it fit the Christmas theme, too. I thought that sort of fit.
Oh, with, yeah, that's true.
This. Right, like wholesome little thing, but good for him. Before we get to what is the main focus of the show, which is the one non-repeat match that we got, we get Curtis Axel comes in to speak with William Regal, and he tells him that he wants to come to NXT, and Regal just completely big times him and tells him he needs an appointment, which I completely, I loved it so much.
Yes.
We'll see Curtis. Like, Curtis is doing like the, you know, I'm from the main roster, I'm just coming here to kind of show what I have. And he's like, ah, I don't know about you, buddy. We'll see. Talk to my secretary.
We'll see about that.
Yeah. And we'll see more of him later. But unless you guys have anything else that you picked up, like I said, most of this is just clips from stuff we've talked about. Anything else besides this, the main attraction, main event match here?
I did like the holiday greeting from Tyler Breeze. I guess coming live from, from the runway in Europe, he wishes all of his Wanna Breeze a Merry Christmas.
He says, "It's me, your hero, Tyler Breeze."
Yeah,
yeah.
Says that the only thing that he is going to be adding to his ensemble in the new year is gold. So, very suggestive there. And beyond that, so again, we get a follow up with Bailey,
who
she's still hurting. She's hurting because she had the brace on the injured knee. What a mistake, right? Apparently, she's watching some classic Triple H matches as motivation.
yeah,
nursing up that injury.
And then she does a Triple H impression.
Yes. And finally, throughout all of this, the hosts, Renee Young and Corey Graves, are you know, standing in the empty performance center in the middle of the ring. For some reason, Corey Graves sounds like he's talking as if he just got the baby down for a nap. He's doing this very, I don't know, quiet voice thing.
Maybe it's just because it's like the empty arena or whatever, and you feel like you have to talk hushed or something. I don't know.
It was weird. It was putting me to sleep, quite honestly. All right, so that's all I had.
He did speak, and it's weird too because, you know, like, they're such control freaks about everything. Like, if they didn't want him to talk quietly, they would have just told him something and reshot it.
Speak up, pal.
Right, so it makes it seem like they're like, no, speak in a hushed tone. It's gonna be your thing, Corey.
Too loud, too much energy.
All right, but the main attraction of this is that we get a rematch of Charlotte and Sasha.
Mm-hmm.
From TakeOver. Rick comes out and he puts over Sasha and Charlotte, and you know how great Charlotte is. You know, as you'd expect from Rick. They're all over each other from the start. Charlotte goes right at the leg. You know, even I don't know how she knew what leg to go after, you know,
yeah, given that I don't think no Sasha
indication whatsoever.
Yeah, there's no brace. I mean, why even
exactly
bother?
Blind. Yeah.
Right. Sasha slows it down in there. I thought they had some nice intensity throughout this. They trade some neck breakers, and it looks like I like that way that they were linking all their stuff together. There weren't a ton of dull spots in between. They transition well. Sasha gets the bank statement, but Charlotte gets the ropes. They do a superplex, but when they come down, they are both wrecked, and they were both selling it really good. They both look like they had the shit knocked out of them, and great small package by Sasha as Charlotte's going for the figure four. She kind of has it scouted and rolls her up, but Charlotte's able to survive and lock in the figure four and get Sasha to tap. So this was pretty hot shit, guys. I enjoyed this pretty well. I thought it was a nice compliment to the TakeOver match. I like the call, not really a callback, but just kind of playing off that they've wrestled before with. Like, to me, that was a spot of the match when Sasha reversed the figure four into the small package. It was very unexpected and good, and just good intensity, really beat the piss out of each other. Another good marquee match on NXT. I went 3.25 on this one as well. Jenny, what did you think about your girl Charlotte?
My girl Charlotte, she looks good. That's how I feel about it.
Hand just went down the pants like Al Bundy.
Yeah, I just really went to a different spot.
Sir.
Anyway, you know, it was a great battle, I thought, and kind of unexpectedly great match buried on this crazy-ass recap show. But Yeah, I mean, Sasha's thrash-based offense actually was a little bit more focused, I thought. And she kept mocking Rick, which I enjoyed. And I like the bank statement. It looks good. Like, Charlotte makes Sasha look good, really good. And the figure four into the bridge, will always mark out for that shit. So a hot match, like you said, great finish. 3.5 stars, Tim.
So yeah, you mentioned the thrashing offense from Sasha, Jenny, which we do see a bit throughout this match, especially in the sort of early going. But and it led me to believe it's like, oh, we're gonna it's the tale of two Sashas, right? Sometimes she's this pretty like well-rounded wrestler out there, just carrying a match, showing a lot of aggression, and then other times she sort of regresses back to that whole, cat fight, bitchy bullshit stuff that we really didn't like seeing so much of in the early goings of this podcast. But she kind of gets it together as things progress here, showing more variety to her offense and taking control and actually having a pretty long and decent heat segment on Charlotte. So I was impressed by that, and I don't know if that was by design or she just got off to a shaky start and then recovered. But yeah, I thought Sasha looked pretty good here. What if that was a little bit of a carry job by Charlotte? Sure, why not? If it works, it works. Maybe she's just trying to work up to Charlotte's level. I could see that certainly going on as well. Weird moment where I think Rich Brennan calls, I don't know what move he was trying to call it, maybe that backstabber that Sasha does to transition into the bank statement. He says something like, "Oh, it's the bankrupt." And it's like, I don't think they ever called it that. Like, maybe he's trying to get a,
freestyling.
yeah, he's trying to get a new move name over that just did not take. So I don't know, that was a little bit weird. Oh no, it was, I think it's the it's that like that double cross face, sort of, I mean, it looks like a glorified rest hold that she does. He called that the bankrupt for some reason. It's like, I don't think this is a named move, dude. So
It's gonna be,
anyway,
God damn
because yeah,
it.
this is It was well before the backstabber and bank statement, which was a pretty good like false finish for Sasha here. Like I kind of could buy into maybe they hot shot the title to her, given that Charlotte is, moving on to that main roster here in short order, it seems like. But ultimately, and yeah, that superplex was really sick. Ultimately it all comes down to Charlotte, with that figure eight looking as fine as ever, getting the clean win, another solid win, for Charlotte over Sasha. I went 3 stars on this, which sounds like more critical than you guys, but I'm not really. I had it like a skosh lower than their takeover match, which was like 3.25 for me. So I am lower on these matches than you guys, but not significantly.
She just locked in the bank job.
The
The bank roll.
Yeah, a small package. Oh, it's the bank roll.
JR.
I don't know
bank
that's right.
teller, bank teller. Sorry, Rich. All right.
Hits her with a lariat. Look at that run on the bank.
Of course, she's
Holy
like, stop,
shit.
Rich. Stop.
Yes.
Just can't stop it.
I'm just gonna
All right.
start naming moves and shit. Just make up
Okay.
shit.
Go into business for
Get it
yourself.
over, yeah.
Go, Rich.
Nope.
All right. Well, we didn't really give a rated episode because there wasn't a whole lot of original content. So we will head on to our third and final for this set. Tim, we are finally in the year 2015, as this episode is dated January 1st, 2015, New Year's Day, 2015. Oh, we start off with the Lucha Dragons, and they're going to be facing Ty and the piece of shit Jason Jordan.
starting this year as we started the previous, I feel like, with the Jason Jordan match that Jenny is going to shit on, I'm sure.
Very... Renee gives a reference that is very appropriate for this podcast, as we've had some.
This is wild.
I don't think on the pod. I don't know if we talked about it on the pod or not. I don't remember, but Renee says that Ty and Jordan's manscaping is on point.
What are we doing?
Yeah, we've ranted about manscaping, I believe, off air, but yeah, it's funny that that would come into play here.
Well. We've ranted about Renee's commentary on air, and it's
like, yeah.
I don't know about you, Corey, but I don't see a single pube.
Totally hairless.
You know, I think that's just her sly attempt to like comment on things that dudes have been commenting on for a very long time. I don't know if she meant it that way or she's trying to be cute, but I don't know.
I never know with Renee. Like,
yeah. It's, I mean, like, I've heard Jerry Lawler talk, so it's like, you know, she didn't say anything that bad, but, like, you know, it just
yeah, felt, you got a point there.
We get a big chop exchange between Ty and Kalisto. The challengers derail the high-flying stuff and lock in some rest holds until we get a hot tag to Sin Cara. And they whiff pretty badly on a Rana attempt at this point, but they kind of recover, and Sin Cara hits a sunset bomb to finish off Ty for the neat win. Yep, the Dragons roll on. I went a star and a half on it. Just kind of instead of a non-competitive squash, it was a semi-competitive squash, I'll say, for this one, mainly just to get the Dragons out there, show their stuff, and get them a good win. So... there we are.
Okay.
You strong feelings,
Yeah, I was a little slightly higher than you at 1.75 stars. Again, like, this is, like, trying to star rate these TV matches on NXT is just probably a fool's errand. But
Kuyon's errand.
Kuyon's errand. Thank you.
Hey!
The story of the match, such as there was one, is like the Luchas trying to counter power with speed. And it's more of a sprint of a match than anything. It's the Lucha Dragons just preventing Jordan and Dillinger from, wait for it, building any momentum, you guys. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I guess I rewarded it slightly higher than you, Jake, for the really cool finish plus the post-match, which we'll get mm-hmm. to.
Yes, so I guess I'm going to be the high man on this one because I went 2 stars.
Holy shit. What? Absurd, Jenny. I know. Massively overrated.
Well, look,
massively
the manscaping overrated. Really got over with me.
Yeah. And, seeing Jason added, Jordan getting his ass beat.
Yeah, added to the match. No pubes in the match, just like I like.
It's a boost. Yeah,
but if we were doing wrestling chicken salad, like, our ratings would just be getting buried. Like, anything that breaks a star is like, you're a fucking idiot. sorry. I just had like a PTSD flashback to the last time I was on that show and had the audacity to give like a Disco Inferno Lash LaRue famous Kuyon. Like above 2 stars rating anyway.
Well, they're in for a treat because I'm doing my favorite show of all time on that show. So
so you finally got them to come around on it, huh?
Well, see, I was hesitating on it because
you came around.
Yes, because I don't want to sit around and listen to anybody shit on my favorite show for a couple of hours. So I'm like,
what are you gonna do? I mean,
I told him, I was like, is that y'all's plan? Because that's not fun for me, and I'm not doing that. So if y'all want to have fun with this show, we can do that. But I'm not going to talk shit.
It'd be much better if nobody on that pay-per-view had any hair on their body, I think. It'd be much more revered.
Yeah, anyway, we needed more manscaping, right?
I like this match. I thought the Luchasaurus dragons looked pretty good. Better than their fucking title win, at least. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. But the last match that they had. So I like the finish. It was quick and snappy. And I like the post-match. 2 stars.
All right. As Tim said earlier, we get a post-match segment where the vaudevillains come in and attack the dragons, seemingly to set up the rematch that we were told about earlier. So building to that. After this, we head backstage and see that Bull doesn't want CJ Parker to embarrass himself and tells him that he needs to whip his ass for the greater good, essentially.
What a line.
And he's, he needs to maim him for the greater good. So trying to manipulate CJ into getting his ass kicked, I guess.
I wonder how much effort it takes to manipulate CJ Parker.
We're seeing that Bull Dempsey is quite the mastermind, honestly, in this run of episodes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, he's more than just a hairy man in a singlet.
A non-man.
He's making the magic happen, right? He kind of made his feud with Corbin, so now
puppet
he's
master.
Kinda, yeah, so he's
master puppeteer on the stage of fools.
They don't have writers. Look, they got to do this shit themselves.
The stage of couillons.
Yes.
They don't have writers.
What was so bad that made me question?
Show's completely improvised.
Yeah. Oh, it was speaking of Kuyans, the Marcus Louis stuff made me throw out the entire notion that they even had writers.
Awesome. Well,
we'll see if that changes in the new year. Hopefully we'll they hired a writer.
We'll see in this next match, match in quotation marks, as we see Carmella come out. Enzo and Cass intro Carmella. They put her over. Bada bing, hottest chick in the ring. I could not tell what the fans were chanting something. I feel like they were chanting blue pants because that's who we're about to see, I think, but I wasn't really sure.
Yeah.
Renee, so they...
this is, again, Renee is on her shit.
Yes, I lost my shit.
Blue pant comes out. Renee says, if you don't take responsibility for yourself, Magneto, then I will. Which I was hoping y'all would be able to explain that because I don't know what the fuck she's talking about.
I can explain this.
Yes.
So she says that she interviewed Blue Pants backstage before the match and asked her, you know, what's your strategy? What's your game plan, Blue Pants? You know, you haven't won your last couple outings, but you're getting another chance. What are you going to do, you know, to pull it around? And all Blue Pants had to say was to repeat, your quote just now, Jake, if you will not take responsibility for yourself, Magneto, then God help me, I will. This is an actual quote from an X-Men comic from 1993. I didn't recognize it right away, but it was one of those, like, it's so specific that, like, it has to be. And I'm like, okay, it's probably from one of the movies, right? So I figured it's probably from one of the, like, actual X-Men movies, and I googled it, and no, it was not, but eventually I determined it was from a particular comic that, I mean, I'm not going to call it a famous issue, it's sort of a deep cut, honestly. Like, I don't know, I feel like any comic from 1993 would be a deep cut from somebody on commentary.
Yeah, I feel less bad for not getting it. Like,
yeah, like, this, believe me, is you're not, I think you're like most of the world and your complete bafflement here. So I guess there was a thing online at the time where Blue Pants looked like, and I would agree, looked like she was wearing a generic X-Men uniform. Because they do have these, like, there's a thing like in the comics where it's like the blue on the yellow is just sort of a generic, like, when somebody, like, doesn't have a real costume or, like, first joins, it's kind of like a trainee jumpsuit sort of thing. And she does sort of look like that. And I think people kind of ran with it. And I don't know. I feel like Renee was just spending a lot of time on Tumblr back then. like probably just retweeting thirst traps or something. And, or the Tumblr equivalent of that. And came across this absolute nonsense blue pants fandom of like 7 people probably. Who are themselves on Tumblr. And yeah, that's what I make of this. So, shame on you, Jake, for not you know, recognizing the culture of 2015 online fandom.
Renee's gone over my head.
Yeah. Shame on you for not picking up quotes from Uncanny X-Men Volume 1, Issue 304.
I'll be better, I promise.
Yeah, I'll expect much better from you next time.
All right. So this match, I didn't really count as a match. It was just kind of, so Mella is like thrashing around.
There was a Professor X quote, by the way. Professor X said that to Magneto.
Right. Professor Blue Pants. Slow thrashing by Mella until Enzo is up on the apron. She hits him off the apron, which is just enough of a distraction for Blue Pants to roll her up into a small package and get the win. And so, of course, she's pissed off at Enzo and starts beating him up after the match. So continuing Enzo's failed attempts to impress Carmella. And that was really the whole point of this match. And seems to be what they're rolling with these this merry band of couillons.
I don't know. I think this was a huge upset, right?
Right.
Blue Pants gets her first win. And now she can go back and join the X-Men, you know, a winner. And not a loser.
I think she proved her place on the team.
Right she here. Did. I gave her one star.
Tim. Right. I assume it's going to be the beginning of a Goldberg-like winning streak for Blue Pants here in NXT.
I gave her one star on paper, 5 stars in my heart.
There you go.
Mm. All right. So, yeah, that was that. But we head to our next match, which is going to be CJ Parker, who's going to be facing Baron Corbin. We saw this a minute ago as Bull convinced him they need to go get MAME for the greater good. His sign says, "You can take my sign, but you cannot take my spirit." The match itself, we get snake eyes from Corbin, big boot, end of days, end of CJ Parker. It appears my notes have an ellipses as the rating. I just put dots apparently for this one.
3 dots. So, yeah.
It's that's a 3 my rating. Dot match. Yeah, 3 dot match.
Professional.
You do the conversion.
I love how our unique rating system has organically grown out of this project.
It's sorted by rating. If you have an Excel spreadsheet like I do, track this, it's just like
symbols.
0 to 5, dud, ellipses, question mark, NA, incomplete.
Not a real match.
My rating was a random X-Men quote, so at that time.
It's an entire issue of whatever. The Juggernaut YouTube video from 2005. That's my rating.
My sexuality is the Juggernaut parody video on YouTube. We need
Corbin does speak, which have we heard him speak up to this point? I feel like no.
No, I don't think so.
Nah.
And oddly, his first quote is, "Oh, I'm the Juggernaut, bitch."
It's a real meta episode of NXT. Are we going to do this? Is what he yells at a Bull. And they actually, they lay hands. They start slugging it out. And the crowd, though, was very quiet. I was kind of bummed for them because I feel like they built this pretty well. But the crowd kind of didn't react to it super I don't know. I thought maybe the crowd, like, you could tell they were looking for, like, oh, finally the two Titans are having it out, and the crowd's just kind of sitting on their hands, which is kind of disappointing for them. It's a bummer. But Bull kind of begs off, and yeah, like I've been like I said, I've been liking this okay, but it just didn't feel like that moment hit the way that they wanted it to. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Did you guys read it that way?
No, yeah. Like, why did they pull them apart? I don't know. I feel like all this build just got kind of wasted.
Right. I think they needed to tease this out a little bit more. It's not like we've got a fucking takeover in 2 weeks or something. I mean, yeah. Next takeover is not going to be for a minute. And if they're trying to build these guys into an actual feud that you can put on one of those premium live events, I don't know what to call it at this point, then, you know, you got to keep us on edge. Jenny,
a little bit more. It just looked lame. You know, it's not the idea. Mm-hmm. It's just the execution.
It did look. Mm. It was like a lame pull apart sequence.
Yeah, like it. To me, it's riding so much on. You could tell they want the crowd to just like explode. Like they're finally hitting each other, and they just don't. Mm-hmm. It's, I don't know. I wonder if they'll continue it or if they'll just kind of, you know, lay off since it didn't work. I don't know. But Regal's talking to Sammy backstage about before he gets interrupted by Curtis Axel again, who says that he wants to recharge his career. And he said, was this a real stat that he says he's beaten Cena and Triple H? I mean, I assume it probably is in some kind of bullshitty way, but that is a wild piece of trivia. It's true that Curtis Axel has beaten Cena and Triple H. I don't know.
I think the Triple H one is legit. Isn't that when Triple H was dicking around with Lesnar in all those matches, and it was sort of, this was all something right, like between Lesnar rematches or something like that, where he was, Triple H was like still injured from Brock breaking his arm or whatever at WrestleMania.
So what you're telling me is that he beat him with no qualifiers or anything that, you know, would not make it legitimate.
Total clean win over game. Yeah, I don't know about the Cena. I mean, wasn't Heyman managing Curtis Axel for a minute?
Yeah.
So it just, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Just seems.
He probably got the pin over Cena in like a 30-on-1 handicap match or something on Raw.
Right. Right. Like, I'm sure it happened. It just sounds insane when you say it out loud. But he's like an aggressive male suitor stalking a woman with Regal. Like, he's just, hey, what's up, man? And he's like, hey, Curtis. Fuck alone. Like, you know, he's like stalking him. He's stalking
this
Regal.
This is the NXT equivalent of that meme with the guy at the club shouting in the woman's face.
Yes. And Regal is the woman.
Regal is, all right, we
Curtis
need to finish.
Curtis Axel is the Gronk lookalike guy. The
way too uncomfortably close bro in so William Regal's grill.
So Regal has to give it. He's like, okay, you could have a, you know what, you want a match? You could have a match with the Tommy next week. And, you know, you could be some, you know, D-level main roster talent that comes in to put our guys over. Enjoy it, Curtis Axel.
PTB NXT Nation, I'm serious. I need that Photoshop, please.
Right.
Please.
Somebody get Matsu's on the line.
Mm.
All right.
The artist himself.
All right. Now we head to a Charlotte in-ring promo. The crowd is chanting something. I couldn't really tell, but she shuts him down again by saying, "Don't no one chants with the most genetically superior diva is speaking," which is a bit of an awkward line. But she says Sasha is great, but she's beat her twice, which leads Sasha and Becky to come down to the ring to try and beat her up. But our hero Natty comes to the rescue and causes the heels to bail. So, Jenny, how did you feel about the most genetically superior diva having to be bailed out by Natty?
It was real dumb. Real dumb. I guess they want to do a tag match.
Yeah.
And there's no other women.
All right.
Blue Pants is back with X-Men. Can't have her.
She's back at the
back at headquarters. Yeah, so, I mean, it's lack of options. Who else would you put with her?
Right. Yeah.
Summer Rae.
Emma.
Yeah, there's always
Emma. I don't know. That might be fun.
That would actually be better. Yeah. You know what? That would be preferable. Like,
Bubbles!
She's just too silly. She's too silly for Charlotte, you know?
Well, she is, but at the same time, bless her heart, but Natalia is like a bad penny you can't get rid of. She just, like, just when we think we're done with some Natalia stuff, she's like, hey, remember me? I'm back. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, she's gonna give you some good matches, but at the end of the day, do we care? Not really.
Yeah, this seemed like them putting together, like, okay, let's put together, like, a tag thing to kill some time until we figure out where we want to go next with Charlotte and company. So, yeah. All right, we now head to Sammy, he sends us a video, I guess from his house or whatever, that is taken on, like, a digital camera from 2001. The quality was just complete dog shit. It looked like, you know, like you'd watch CNN or something in, like, 2005, and there would be the people, like, reporting from Iraq or whatever, and they were taking it on, like, whatever the 2005 equivalent of FaceTime was, and it just looked like there were 6 total pixels. Like, it's dog shit camera from Sammy here. He needs to up his equipment.
Well, he's Canadian.
Right. Yeah. Well, and, you know, from Quebec at that, so.
I wonder how many floppy disks it took to fit his video on.
Plus, I'm sorry, when my son sends me videos from his iPhone, whatever the fuck, it still looks like this. So, I don't know. I feel like it's just an iPhone thing.
I'm gonna throw a flag on that one.
Right. It's a not so subtle iPhone dig. Big droid.
I'll send y'all these videos he sends. It does. It looks like shit. So, I don't know. Mm.
Well, either way,
not to suggest the operator may have something to do with it, but
you think a 12-year-old boy don't know how to operate a phone?
Well, okay, so it's not that. It's actually once it arrives in your droid ecosystem, it has to be filtered by a bunch of nonsense logic that can't interpret the sophisticated superiority of
Sam
iPhone.
He's trying to transfer from a Canadian droid.
It just automatically drops like 18,000 pixels.
But he's very somber and shocked that KO, who, you know, was supposed to be his friend from back in the day, would do that to him, but says he'll be back. And he's also like standing in a snowy driveway, I guess. You know, going back to the Canada thing, I assume he's in Canada.
Yeah, it's, you know, Christmas, you know, New Year's Day or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Quebecois Christmas coming soon to Walmart. Can't wait.
Okay. Nobody has sex for that.
Nobody has sex. Yeah, I guess not. It is a Hallmark movie.
Oh, man.
In Canada.
That one got me good.
Sorry.
All right. So
hopefully it's a Quebecois New Year. It's a sequel.
Road to Toronto. Sammy coming back down to Florida on his motorcycle. Anyway.
Boy.
All right. We now see his assailant, Kevin Owens, sit down with Renee for a face-to-face interview, or at least we think it's going to be. She goes pretty hard at him. She accuses him immediately of stealing Sammy's moment, and he just gets up and says, if you think I stole his moment, then maybe I should leave, and he just walks away. And I continue to just like how weird and quiet he is. Like, he just doesn't want to, like, if they piss him off, he's like, whatever, I'm not talking later. I'm digging this Kevin Owens so far.
I continue to enjoy how ineffective of a journalist Renee Young is.
Right.
The 45-second interview. Just, you know what? I'm just going to leave.
Yeah, really warm. really warms up the interviewee by, you know,
yeah.
So how you doing? Hot. Why'd you steal his moment? He's like, all right, I didn't come here to be put on trial.
Stand for this kangaroo court, Renee Young.
Fucking X-Men quotes.
Okay.
Yeah, but I dug KO here. I thought he's, he's establishing himself well. But I don't know if they set this up early in the show that this was, that our main event was going to be a tag match here. I know, Jenny, before we move on, did you have anything to add on KO and Renee?
No, he was good. She's terrible, but he's he kind of said more than he would have said in the interview just by walking out of it. So, that's a good move.
Yeah, can say that much for sure.
He's like, fuck Sammy and his shitty phone.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, like I was saying, our main event is going to be the Ascension versus Finn and Itami, which I don't know if they said anything about it before, but I can kind of see where this is probably going to go. But they tell us here on commentary that Itami is the Flair of Japan, which seems, I know he's probably kind of a big deal, but that seems a little.
What?
Little seems heavy. Like a lot.
Seems a little heavy. Yeah. Like. Also, like, I feel like Flair could be the Flair of Japan, like,
right?
Shit.
But Finn is super over already. Like, the crowd is super into his interests, his whole deal. He's getting over quickly. I enjoy their offense, Finn and Itami. Like, quick, they chain together things really well with the kicks and all that stuff. I like that. They kind of dominate the Ascension, which is an interesting dynamic for an Ascension match, because usually we see them kind of come out and chug along with their slow, shitty offense, which we'll get there. Don't worry. But Finn gets the uppercut off the apron, which I thought was a really sick spot. Like, he killer bump by him. We go to a break and we come back, and now we get into the Ascension, their trademark boring ass offense, headlocks, really slow stomps and just boring shit. I don't know what else to say about them. It's like it's like they are like the wrestling commentary team. Like, I don't even know any more ways to shit on them, but they're just boring. But Finn comes back with a Pele kick, hot tag to Tommy, sick guillotine move. I didn't know what you would call that by Tommy, but that was cool. But aside from the long, terrible Ascension Heat segment, I'm kind of digging it anytime Finn and Tommy are on offense here. And it kind of feels like they're building to a finish that we haven't always got. And Itami smacks a kick to Victor's face for the win. So, like, they built to it whenever Finn and Itami were on top, but I just feel like that middle section kind of killed the momentum of the match. It kind of made it feel a little bit disjointed. But I still ended up going 3 on it just for how good I thought Finn and Itami were, despite I feel like it's a credit to them, despite the shittiness of the Ascension, that they were to pull this much of a match out. But another big win for them, and I'm starting to wonder how long Finn is going to stick with Itami, because I feel like he's already looks like he's ready to go on to bigger things. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah. Finn was really good in this. Everybody else, not so much. Honestly, it's like he worked the whole match by himself. Like, I just feel like everybody else is doing nothing in this, and Finn is just flying all over the place. So it looks like he is more saddled with Itami than he is teaming with him. Honestly, it's like the Enzo to his Cass. maybe not that bad, but
brutal.
We haven't seen much from him, and I don't know. I just wasn't super impressed. I did like 2.5 on this. Tim?
So I think it's appropriate, given our commentary around, the perception differences between the face tag team here, that they played the little this little clip, I guess, from TakeOver backstage, of Finn in like full on demon mode. And I think this should be like our thumbnail for the episode, is just Hideo Itami looking at his much more popular tag team partner in complete disbelief. because that was probably my favorite part of this match and this team, this pairing, to tell you the truth. So Jake, 3 stars, Jenny, 2.5. I fucking buried this match at 2.25 stars.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was.
Look at me. Okay. I got more snowflakes than Sammy's driveway right now.
Yeah. I have the last line of my notes for this match just says, whatever.
Much as my God.
My God.
My God.
It's appropriate, right? Terrible. I will say that while the Ascension's offense does suck and is very plotting, I do like the old school heel tag team strategy where they're utilizing quick tags to really press their advantage. I do question the wisdom of having Finn play face in peril here. I think maybe Itami would be better in that role. Certainly he'd be better suited than standing on the ring doing nothing for the better part of the match, waiting for the hot tag when really your hot tag guy is in there getting his ass kicked. Mm-hmm. So that seems a little ass backwards.
Yep.
The other thing that bothers me, and this is a very, it's so dated now and it's trivial to the point that I almost questioned even pointing it out, but Itami does this spot where he keeps teasing the GTS, Punk's old finisher, which the fans go crazy for every time he sets up for it, and they don't do it. They just tease it. So I don't know. It's just one of those things. They need to either shit or get off the pot with that. Just either let him do the move or don't. I mean, for fuck's sake, let's. I hate all the CM Punk, all the like, oh, is he coming back? Oh, it's a signal, you guys. Like all the just fucking meta shit around that. I'm so, this many years later, it just has aged so fucking badly that it like triggered a very aggressive response in me. I also think this match has a super weak finish.
Yes.
Itami just kicks whichever Ascension guy in the face, and that's that. So,
yeah, when they've been kicking him in the face the entire match.
Right.
I mean, yeah, really, it's that whole, I don't know. I always have this weird. I'm of two minds with like very strike based offense type, you know, strong style stuff where. On the one hand, it's like, oh, you're watching one of those matches. God, it's so stiff. Holy shit. They're really laying into each other. And on the other hand, I'm like, I don't know. This kind of feels like fake MMA. Just if I wanted to watch like guys throw bombs at each other, I would watch actual MMA. So in the context of a wrestling match, the more I see of that sort of thing is just the more it takes me out of it. Kind of some of the same problems I have with like a Nakamura, you know, we're some years from seeing, but I guess stay tuned. We'll get there. If we're not all dead by then. So
we will be.
Yeah. Anyway, like I said, my rating is 2.25/whatever. Let's get Finn away from Itami, and I don't know what we do with the Tommy at this point. Try to heat him back up somehow. Is it possible? All things are possible in a Quebecois New Year. Jenny and Jake.
Yeah. I think you just need like a feud. You just need somebody to, like, if somehow he got put with Neville, like, I don't think that's going to happen, but you know, I feel like Neville could turn anybody. You know,
he could turn anybody, probably. Yeah.
Say that again. All right. But overall, this one, this episode, I thought was a bit of a step down from the other real episode that we watched that wasn't a Christmas special. There was some storyline development, I guess, sort of. I liked the main event okay, but surely wasn't as good as the two other feature matches that we saw earlier. So I'm going to take this one down to a 4 out of 10. So
This one is. It wasn't, I don't know, it was kind of weird because it wasn't really tedious to watch. But then at the end of it, I was like, dude, like nothing happened. Like, literally, like it felt like, it did feel like a waste of time. So I'm doing 3.5.
Right. And like simultaneously felt like nothing happened, but there were like 20 segments.
Yeah.
Somehow too.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3.5 sounds about right for me too. I think it's telling that our unrated clip show Christmas episode was probably better than this,
right.
Just from a watchability standpoint. I don't know. Do we take into account it's New Year's Day? Everyone's hungover. No one's trying to watch fucking NXT on WWE Network. But then again, it's on demand, so there's sort of no excuse for it. But yeah, we're not off to a hot start here in 2015.
Mm-hmm. But the counterpoint would be, like you said, the clip show, which is literally them just throwing together shit, like Neville talking to his mom. Was, you know, probably
Tyler Breeze phoning in a promo and Bailey watching Triple H matches in the back.
Right. And then a banger match to end, and we're like, oh yeah, I can dig this. But yeah. All right. So we're in 2015. Let's get to our awards. Best match. I kind of tied, but I guess I'm going to go with Neville KO just on the newness of it as my best match.
I was trying to remember what was my radio. No, so mine would have to be Sasha and Charlotte.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sasha and Charlotte for me too.
All right. Worst match, I think I'm going to go Ascension versus Enzo and Cass. I guess it's the closest thing to a kind of a, I don't know. There's so many like matches that were, like Tim says, the ones that break the rating system. So there really could be any of those.
Yeah, just pick your Ascension match, basically.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go with the Ascension and Enzo and Cash, other than the various non-competitive enhancement talent matches that we had, which, you know, you just, again, put those through a star rater generator, and I don't even think they belong in consideration for best or worst.
Yeah. Those couillons. Sorry. Rising, I have Finn and KO, were like clearly the standouts that are on the upswing right now. Becky, I'd probably throw in too.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, Blue Pants.
Blue Pants.
Right. The meteoric rise.
Yes.
Blue Pants.
Do we want to put Baron Corbin on there?
Do we want to?
Are we going to?
Sure.
All right.
Anybody else?
Baron Corbin, if you will not take responsibility for your inexplicable push, we will.
Maybe Corey for his average commentary that seemed good compared to
his average commentary.
It's not a bad idea.
Right.
Sure.
All right. Descending, and we should just call the fallen category descending in honor of the Ascension.
Yes.
The descension.
Yes. So they're on it. They're a lock always. But even at this point, I feel like they're not only, I mean, we've never liked them, but I think even in the eyes of the company or the way they're presented, they're kind of becoming an afterthought. So there's that. I'm trying to think of who else. I don't know. Help me out here.
Renee. Renee did not have a good outing.
No.
Actually, she had, she had an amazing non sequitur and totally biffed a big time interview. So it's a real mixed bag for her. Local teleporter is certainly falling down the card.
Right, about, untitled enhancement.
What about the Vault Villains?
Yeah,
they still had some heat though.
Yeah, they're still.
They like attacked. They're just doing like a very slow burn with that rematch, I guess.
Yeah, they kind of held serve. I didn't feel like they really fell or got better. They're just kind of there.
Lateral, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Not too many people, I feel like, descended. You know, they. It's like maybe a lot of people just
because he should be better.
Every time he shows up with Finn, he's just going to keep falling.
Yeah.
All right. MVP, I think I'm going to go with KO just because he had a really good match. And also just like his presence has been real cool. He's been, I enjoyed all of his kind of interview and promo segments and his match. And he's just a cool new addition to the promotion.
Oh, I'm going to go Charlotte on this. She had a fantastic match and some good promos. So, you know, she's the champ.
I'll go with Owens just for having a very strong presence and kind of dictating what the top of the story, what the top of the card is going to be and what the story is going to be for the next several weeks to months of programming.
All right. LVP, I think my LVP is going to be the statement, wear the knee brace on the uninjured leg. It's going to be my LVP.
Oh my god.
Or maybe tall haired.
Tall
haired local competitor.
I'm going to Tommy.
My LVP is going to be Sami Zayn's camcorder from 1997.
It's a video that got lost in translation between Canadian cell phones. All right, best moment. I kind of had Devil's Mom as my best moment. this whole spiel, but I'd probably more seriously the Neville KO interaction that we opened up with on the very first one.
Shame on you.
Shame on you.
You know, you want to be a footballer like all Geordies do.
Gotta love a good public shaming.
It really is. Let's see. Probably Blue Pants beating Carmella.
Oh, my. No, it's not bad. It's not bad.
Right.
No. I mean, I'll go. I think I'll say to get it down to an actual moment would be Owens powerbombing Neville on the hardest part of the ring.
Yeah.
That was pretty sick. William Regal no-selling Curtis Axel's up there, too.
Here to recharge my career. Leave me alone. Tool rag. See, like every British person, it's a British bulldog.
Right.
Right. Well, that's another PTB NXT in the books, right? Yeah. Good for us.
Yeah.
Put us over. What do we have going on, Tim? What do you have? What's in the hopper?
Oh, hell, I don't know. subscribe to this podcast network if you are not already. Tons of great wrestling content and really the standard bearer of Place to Be Nation here, Place to Be Nation Wrestling. Do another show on this network. It is called Talking WCW. That's also with Jenny. Mm-hmm. Not with Jake though, but with Greg Phillips in our third seat over on that show. It's a monthly / semi monthly, similar frequency, quarterly. It has a somewhat similar cadence to PTB NXT. Irregular is what I mean by that. So check that out if you're a WCW fan. Our most recent episode was covering the life and times of Eddie Guerrero with three really awesome Eddie matches from his time in WCW. You can find me as well on the sister network called Pop goes to the couch where we've pretty much wrapped up our coverage of the Book of Boba Fett on Disney Plus and pulling double duty Peacemaker on HBO Max. Got spoiled for the finale, a major moment in that Peacemaker finale that I'm still livid about, but still had a good time with the boys talking that season finale. So that is on, again, Place Me Nation, Pop. And of course we have the North-South connection as well, which some more great wrestling content, where I do a non-wrestling themed show over there with JT Rosero and a rotating guest each and every time. Jenny, you were on a very recent edition of this show. It's called 90210 No-So, going through chronologically, episode by episode, the original Beverly Hills 90210, JT and myself. So we're going to be, closing in on the end of the first season here before too long. That drops every 2 to 3 weeks, depending on scheduling. So if you're a fan, do listen and reach out to us if you want to be a guest. We do need guests. We need to get that booked up. Got slots available for season 2. Again, going to be coming sooner than you probably think. Sooner than I think, at least. And Jenny can tell you about some of the shows we do together on the feed that she curates. Beyond that, you can follow me on Twitter. I am at Cyke68, C-Y-K-E-6-8. Hit me up on the Twitter where we can complain about the Wordle. Jenny, take it away.
So my podcast feed is called The Jenny Position. Tim is on a show called Talking Pop, which hopefully will be back very soon as well. And he was on an edition of Freak Out Drive-In recently where we watched Anaconda, very appropriate to my life and times where I live in Florida. And I think Tim's going to be on an episode of another one of my shows called You Heard About Pluto coming up.
We booked it.
Yeah, we booked it, didn't we?
We booked it.
I was just like, get all my Tim shit in. So, and so on the North-South Connection, I have two shows, TNA Never Dies and The Extreme Three-Way Dance going through ECW. And you can follow me on Twitter and my Facebook page at Jenny Position.
Very good. As for myself, you can find me on this here feed, the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, doing Highway to the Impact Zone, my buddy Logan. We've kind of switched to a looser format, doing a little more live watching, which I always enjoy. And we also do YouTube Roulette, where we watch random matches and talk over them, which is also a live watch pod. And on the North-South Connection, you could find me every 2 weeks doing the Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast, going through the year 2002, but almost just like we just on this pod got to 2015, I'm almost to 2003, so check that out. That wraps us up for PTB NXT. I guess the only thing I can really say is if you all take responsibility for yourself, Magneto, then I guess I goddamn will, or whatever the quote is. But we will see you next time, you bunch of couillons.
PTB NXT has left the building. I'm blue.